Ina Hawkinson, founder of the Family Care Foundation, which promotes treating mental health issues in family homes instead of sterile institutions.
KBOO and the Clinton Street Theater are proud to present one of the great concert films of all time, Jazz on a Summer's Day, a documentary of the 1958 Newport Jazz Festival. Jazz on a Summer's Day captures the music, the crowd, and the essence of such jazz greats as Louis Armstrong, Thelonious Monk, Jerry Mulligan, and Anita O'Day. Jazz on a Summer's Day, Thursday, August 14, 7 p.m., at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street, Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Old Rockin' Chair's got me.
Old Rockin' Chair got your father.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Monday, August 4th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today's guest is Dan Sears with Columbia Riverkeeper, the story that has made pretty much zero impact this far on mainstream media. You remember, perhaps you recall, a few years back we celebrated a resounding victory in preventing an LNG terminal from being sited on the Columbia River. Well, Oregon LNG is back. These people are unstoppable. We knew it at the time, and the fight does indeed continue. Dan's going to be joining us momentarily to talk about that. Meanwhile, we do have a few headlines. I want to kick today's show off with a story that normally falls in the and finally this category, but we're going to start the show with it instead. First, we learned that an otter put a little boy and grandmother in the hospital with serious injuries, and now another otter victim has come forward. Quote, "The cute little otter was not so cute," said Radek Bazant of Snohomish, Washington. Bazant was floating on the Pilchuck River a few weeks back when he says the otter attacked from below, popping his raft and chewing on his leg, said Bazant. "It was very vicious and snarling." And at least, though, the otter did not bomb any hospitals, any UN schools, or any buildings in which women and children were sheltering. And on that note, Monsanto and the Department of Defense fund company that could earn billions from the Ebola treatment. Monsanto, of course, is cashing in on the Ebola catastrophe. One fascinating development worth looking into further is that Tech Mira Pharmaceuticals, a company working on an anti-Ebola drug, just received $1.5 million from none other than Monsanto. Tech Mira Pharmaceuticals Corporation is a biopharmaceutical company focused on, they say, quote, on advancing novel RNAi therapeutics and providing... It goes on, but we might have known, we might have guessed that Monsanto would be right there, wherever there's misery and suffering, to do its part to up the ante a little bit. Atlanta hospitals say that they've been training for this as an opportunity to treat Ebola patients. This is a very, very serious development, something that the world was certainly not prepared for, not at this particular time. What people take from the outbreak is what is really going to count in the end, because we are seeing more and more of these outbreaks of diseases that never before there would be. It would be limited to a small area, usually in Rwanda, Uganda, and somewhere in West Africa, and it would flare up and then die down. But now, with the communications, the overcrowding in the world, we're seeing these things take flight and move well beyond touching people, countless people perhaps, across the world. And moving right on, there is an Obama administration executive order out allowing apprehension and detention of Americans with respiratory diseases. Last Thursday, Barack Obama signed the order that allows for this. And again, another frightening thought. We're thinking about, again, the possibility of quarantines and the use and manipulation of catastrophe. Oh, this is, again, disaster capitalism on steroids, no pun intended, or indeed no tip of the hat to the pharmaceutical industry, at least. But we can see this now and expect a lot more of it. This is definitely an eye-opener and a cue for everyone to keep their eyes open. North Dakota State Fair pigs tested positive for the H3N2 flu virus. It's the first time a flu virus has been confirmed at this particular event, and again, not a good sign. The Obama administration, it turns out, and this shouldn't come as news to anyone, has been censoring significant portions of CIA torture reports. Senator Dianne Feinstein delayed the news until August 2nd. The Obama administration censored part of the findings of an investigation into the CIA's use of harsh interrogation methods on suspected terrorists. Longer story there, and we don't have time for it because we've got important issues around Cascadia to look at. As the world knows now, though, a soldier believed captured by Hamas was killed in action, according to the Israeli army. This took place on August 2nd. Israel said that they have what they call scientific evidence. Sure they do, because they probably engineered and orchestrated all of this right from the get-go. Israeli airstrikes thus far against Gaza have destroyed mosques, government buildings, you name it. Part of them, it's almost impossible to read this. It's almost impossible to conceive of it. They destroyed part of the Islamic University on Saturday. Ground forces continued searching for the officer claimed now dead. And after the Islamic University, they went after the largest mosque. Missiles fired straight into the Al Shafi Mosque, Gaza's largest. It was reduced to rubble. This is a war crime, by the way. This is a war crime. You don't destroy a religious edifice. Can you imagine if these similar strikes occurred on Israeli buildings, and if the numbers of dead were similar? A UN official broke down and sobbed uncontrollably over Israeli shelling of Gaza, of the school. And on that note, we could turn to Cascadia, because there's plenty of work to be done here. Dan Sears joins us with Columbia Riverkeeper. Dan, thanks for being with us today. Thanks for listening to our brief headlines, and welcome back to KBOO Airwaves.
Thanks, Chris.
Well, all of this really is of a piece. It's all of a network. The greed, the need and the greed for energy, and particularly the profits generated by the energy industry, is what, of course, is driving it. Again, the shareholders, they have certain expectations. And in a certain sense, that is indeed what is driving this incessant pounding away on the environment to extract every last drop of anything of any conceivable value. Now we return once again to the Columbia River, where the Oregon LNG is proposing a terminal, and this has been partially signed off on. Who is responsible for signing off on the travesty?
So initially, the U.S. Department of Energy is granting a conditional approval for Oregon LNG, a company that's backed by a New York investment firm called Leucadian National, to export huge quantities of liquefied natural gas to overseas countries. So it's the U.S. Department of Energy that's taken the initial step.
And this means, too, we forget sometimes that this the costs of exporting it, all of it, entire operation is so costly, you have to wonder why bother in the first place. What's the next step, and where does activism come in at this point? What's to be done to stop this from occurring?
Yeah, and it's really important to acknowledge that this is a very preliminary step from DOE. It doesn't indicate that Oregon LNG has any realistic prospect of moving forward. It's kind of a feather in their cap. It's something that they're going to be using to try to persuade folks that they have a legitimate project. That said, Oregon LNG faces incredibly stiff opposition in the local community. Just this Friday, there was a prayer vigil calling for a moral, ethical approach to caring for the Columbia River, and over 60 people attended that vigil in Astoria, many of whom were there because they're veterans of a 10-year fight to stop Oregon LNG from trampling this salmon estuary, this really critical salmon habitat, with their project. And so at the local, at the state, and at the federal level, Oregon LNG still lacks the key approvals it needs to build this very wrong-headed project. And so we're calling on folks in particular to urge the governor of Oregon to stand up and to say no to these projects.
Well, the governor has a rather disappointing track record in so many areas of environmental concern. It's hard for some people these days to trust him, and certainly difficult to predict what he's going to do. This also involves pipelines too, I believe, and the prospect of pipelines crisscrossing to Cascadia has startled people and enraged some people. What sort of infrastructure would be necessary to support this kind of these terminals if they were approved? Because it's not just the terminal, it's all the rest of it and the implications,
right?
Too.
And you bring up a great point, which is, you know, the Department of Energy issued this approval without really looking at the environmental impacts of all of that associated infrastructure. And so what they need is an 80-mile pipeline that would connect Woodland, Washington to Warrenton, Oregon. They also need over 140 miles of pipeline going up and down the I-5 corridor along through the state of Washington. And so these are impacts that really can't be ignored. And ultimately, you know, the agencies that have the ability to address this directly and powerfully are in the state of Oregon and the state of Washington. Oregon does a great job of sort of shaking its fist at the federal government when they do a poor job of reviewing these projects. What we're calling on the state of Oregon to do, and Governor Kitzhaber in particular, is to use their own authority to reject Oregon LNG outright. They could do that tomorrow. It doesn't make any sense to prolong this process for a project that we think is just dead wrong for the Columbia River.
So, as I said before, stopping it. What is in fact the next step? Who? Because, you know, it's the case with all of these sorts of things. It's follow the money. Who profits from this? That's where people need to turn this off right away. Who profits? Who stands to win the most? My guess in the intro is shareholders, but could be wrong.
I think you're right. I think it's Leucadian National Corporation, based out of New York, and their interest in this project is to send what, you know, essentially is fracked gas from North America overseas to very high-priced markets in Japan and South Korea, places that pay 4 to 5 times what we pay for natural gas. The realistic impact of that proposal is an increase in fracking, an increase in gas drilling, an increase in global warming emissions, because we are learning more and more that the production of natural gas is releasing huge amounts of methane.
We got to go. I apologize for that, Dan, and I'm delighted
Thank
to have you.
Chris.
Finally, final note, a proposed extension of a natural gas pipeline that would run the length of Massachusetts met stiff resistance from a local coalition of residents. On that note, this has been Air Cascadia for Monday, August 4th, 2014. Kate Welch, engineer of the show. Thanks for that, Kate. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
KBOO invites you to the first Cascade Media Mixer, Tuesday, August 5th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Weird Shift Storefront, 201 North Alberta. This networking event of local media makers and artists from the Pacific Northwest is for making connections, sharing ideas, and collaborating on media projects. This month focuses on building momentum towards the Cascade Media Convergence happening this fall. The Cascade Media Convergence will take place September 19 to the 21st and is a regional gathering of community-based media organizations, journalists, and artists to explore democratic models of media production and distribution. For more info on the CMC, visit www.cascademedia.cc. Again, that's the Cascade Media Mixer, Tuesday, August 5th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Weird Shift Storefront, 201 North Alberta.
And Locus Focus is off today, but we are going to hear a piece from Radio EcoShock about what's going on with our planet and what we can do to survive.